Good morning. How's everyone doing? All issues taken care of? We're good to go? Yeah, I just want to apologize in advance. I've had some vertigo the last 3-4 days. So try not moving around because I won't know if it's you or me. And I appreciate that. Well, we're starting a new series and we'll be taking it up through Easter. It's called Love Is. And we're going to be looking at different aspects of love. And today we're going to look at the aspect of that's it goes hand in hand with love, and that's forgiveness. You cannot sustain any relationship, especially a love relationship, without forgiveness. In fact, Jesus said this in Matthew 22:36. He was asked one day by one of the leading teachers of that day. So a teacher in those days were the ones who studied the word. They spent their lives studying the Old Testament, especially the first 5 books of the law. And then they studied the prophets and the Psalms and Proverbs and that stuff. But they focused on that. And in those first 5 books are given the laws of God and the commands of God to his people. So this guy comes up to Jesus and he asks him, what's the most important one? Out of all the stuff, what's the most important? And he said it this way. Matthew describes it as this. He says, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your soul and with all your mind. He said, love him with the way you think, with your feelings, the heart, and with your soul, the emotional part of your being. So mind, feelings, and soul. He says, this is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So you're to love your neighbor and yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So they're like the coat hangers. And everything else hangs and puts that love together. And so if you look at Scripture, you don't have to read it too long to understand that we have problems in relationships. We need forgiveness, and the Bible is big on that. So the first thing we want to talk about is God's perspective on forgiveness based on his love for his creation. So let me just share this once again with you. You cannot have successful, loving relationships with God, other human beings, including yourself, without incorporating the core value of forgiveness. You know, I'm continually struck by the need of so many to seek forgiveness for offenses they have committed, and secondly, the desire for reconciliation between loved ones. Just as Chris shared, just as Johnny shared, that relationships with our parents, and that starts in the core of our being, the most intimate people in our lives are our family. And they're also the hardest ones to love, and they also can be the hardest ones to forgive. So that's where it always starts, but it doesn't end there. And so I cannot have a successful relationship without the core concept of forgiveness, because everyone's going to need it, including myself. Anybody in here have a problem forgiving people? Yeah. Okay, just one guy. Well, today we're going to talk about why is it important to forgive? And how does that work? And then next week, I think we'll be doing a couple-part series here, and we're going to talk about how to forgive. How do we really forgive? And why do we want to anyway? What is the importance of it? So, one of the most important issues that we all face in life is just what I told you, is the question of forgiveness. And this is what you need to understand. Forgiveness is the foundation of our relationship with God. He loves us, therefore, he has to work into the relationship the ability to forgive us. In 1 John 4:9, it says this, God showed how much he loved us by sending his son, his one and only son, into the world that we might have eternal life through him. The thing about love is it's demonstrated. It has to be shown. How many people have had people tell you they love you, but they never really ever show it? And the way they show it is it would not be interpreted as love. Well, God demonstrated his love for us by sending Jesus to make up for the problem, to fix the problem we have, which is eternal life. When God designed us, he designed us to live eternally. And not just eternally in some spiritual realm, but to have this body eternally. You and I are not whole without our bodies. We were designed to be body, soul, and spirit. And that's why death is always so traumatic to us, because it is the ripping away of the body. And we know somewhere deep inside of us that's not right. And so God figured out a way. Of course, he did this before we were ever made. He knew we would sin. What does sin do? Sin separates. When you get hurt by someone, you separate from them. Oh, you may still be in proximity to them, but emotionally, you are separated. In fact, whenever Teresa and I have an issue, I can always tell if she's feeling separated from me by the touch test. I'll just touch her. She'll go, it's like, oh, I thought so. There is that thing that separates us. And so when we sinned against God, we created separation. And the consequence for that separation is death. We would be eternally separated from God. He did not want that for his people. Now, when you and I, everybody in here has had some relationship that ended in death because of hurt. Not necessarily physical death, but that person becomes so distant from us, they are dead to us. Divorced people go through that. A lot of broken relationships go through that. Family stuff happens to where some of us aren't in touch with our family. They, even though we know where they're at, we're not involved with them because sin has happened between us and it never could be reconciled, which is a different subject which we'll talk about. And forgiveness and change couldn't happen, and so there's a death. Well, in our relationship with God, our death from him would be eternal. Why? Because he doesn't sin against us, and we as human beings are continually in need of forgiveness. One of the reasons it's hard for some of us to forgive is we forget how much forgiveness we need. Anybody ever talk to somebody that says, you know what, I'm not that bad of a person. You know, this whole thing about God and all this stuff, I'm not that bad. There's a lot worse people than you. What that means is you minimize your sin. Anybody in here have a hard time saying I'm sorry to people when I've done something wrong? It's because I don't want to acknowledge that frailty to me, usually because I've been put down so much or feel so condemned that I can't deal with any more of that. And so to admit I'm wrong is to admit one more time that something's wrong. And then secondly, why should I admit I'm wrong? You guys never admit you're wrong. You ever try to say sorry to somebody? Or I say, hey, man, you did me wrong. And they start bringing up all the reasons what you did. So we are damaged relationally. So God desires to fix that. We are so damaged that we are separated from God, which causes us to be separated from ourselves. I've counseled many people that say they hate themselves. Nobody really hates themselves. They try to fix themselves in all the wrong ways. And we get separated from others. Anybody ever meet a cat lady that just doesn't want to be around people but wants to be around her cats? That's because she is so wounded. And relationships haven't been healed and forgiven and reconciled to where it's easier to not be around people. And so we carry all this stuff in us. So God starts in the beginning to fix us. And so he did it by showing how much he loved us, that he came to earth to fix the problem, which was to end eternal separation. Our need was eternal life, was to have life with God. That's our need still. The reason we want people in our lives, we're always looking for the place to be loved, to be accepted, and to be accepted as we are. That's why we hide a lot, because people have rejected who we really are. So we'll talk about some of this in these next couple weeks, because it is Valentine's Day coming up, and the best Valentine's you can give to yourself is to forgive yourself, let God forgive you, and forgive others. And there's a reason for that, because healing only takes place in our soul and in our relationships by forgiveness. You actually do yourself a favor. So God sends his son to take the penalty, the consequence of death, and remove it from us so now we can be reconciled. He's offered that to us. Love and forgiveness always go together. Back in the day, there was some movie, I forget, where the statement was, love means never having to say you're sorry. That's what we call a short relationship. In the very next verse, John writes this. This is real love. So he's going to tell us what real love is. Not that we loved God, because nobody loves God first. He acts on our behalf because he loves us. You need to know he's not mad at us. How many had the idea that God was really mad at us and couldn't wait to slam us? I grew up Catholic, and my idea of walking with God was he's behind a tree, he's got a 2x4, and man, is he pissed. And he can't wait to lay it on you. There was no concept in my mind. I don't know where I got that, how I filtered that into my mind as a belief system, but it was there. So my idea was God is mad, and he's going to lay it on me. And you know, there he's not really there to tell you what you're doing good. He's there to tell you what you're doing bad. It's almost like going to the principal's office. It's funny, in counseling, almost invariably, the first time someone comes into the office, they got that look like they're going into the principal's office at school. And they sat down, and I always ask them, I go, hey, do you feel like you're at the principal's office? They go, yeah, I am. I go, well, relax, you're not. It's all good. We're going to get through this. But we have this idea that anytime we're called to something, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. What does that tell you about that person? It tells you that their attention, they only got attention when they messed up. Very rarely, you know, does anybody walk into the principal's office and go, I can't wait to get this reward. I'm getting an award today. I just know it. How many of us, when we think of stuff in our lives, we always go to worst case scenario? How many of us are starting a new adventure and say to ourselves, this is going to work out great? What do we normally say? I don't know if this is going to work out at all. We just have this thing inside of us. And a lot of it has to do with the stuff we've taken in. And a lot of it has to do with the shame we carry for being unforgiven. We don't know the freedom to walk in our skin and be okay with who we are. Because in this world, we're told over and over and over again in so many ways, it's acceptance for performance. You do good, you'll be accepted. You don't do it, you won't be. And so we learn, and then we realize that we can't be that good all the time. We struggle and stuff. And so we hide it, thinking that that can handle it. And then we're carrying the wounds that we've received from others that fortify that belief that I'm never going to be okay. God comes to start that healing process. He first does it with himself. It says, this is real love. Not that we loved God. He loved us first. He loves you. He's not mad at you. He came to heal us. It says, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. He made a way for us and God to come back together. He took away the consequence, eternal death. and said, no, no, now we have life. It'd be like me giving, when Jesus went to the cross, everybody's sin was forgiven. Your sins are, as you sit there today, every one of them, past, present, and future, are forgiven. The only thing is, you have to receive that. If I put $100 on this podium right here and I say, it's yours. Do what, it's yours. If you don't come and receive it, you never get the benefit of it. It's the same way with the Lord. It tells us in Ephesians 1:7 that he is so rich in kindness, so rich in kindness. You don't meet too many people that are so rich in kindness, but he is, and grace, that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. We have been separated from our sin, and we are received apart from that. He doesn't look at us through our sin. That's what forgiveness does between God and us. God does not look at you through your sin. Our problem with ourselves and with each other, we often look at each other through their sin. So you and I have that from God. But there's a responsibility in it on our part. And that is to receive it, like I shared the $100 bill. In Ephesians 1:13 it says, and you were also included in Christ. That was open to you too. When did you receive it? When you heard the word of truth. That's the word of truth I'm giving you. The gospel of your salvation. Gospel means good news. Salvation means healing. The good news is that God wants to heal the breach between us. Wouldn't it be awesome if in all our human relationships, the breach between us would be regularly healed? That's what it's going to be in the new earth when we get our bodies back after we die. And we stay up in heaven as long as it takes for God to do whatever he's doing, or unless he comes back sooner. The goal is united and in harmony. That is going to happen. So he says, listen, when you heard the word of this truth, and it is the good news of your healing, having believed this, that is for me too. You were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. So God, the Holy Spirit, comes in, and now we are marked. So if we were in the spiritual realm, you would see a marking on you. Not only that, but the Holy Spirit indwells you. This Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. Well, what is our inheritance? Our inheritance is a new body, a new earth, and to be with the Lord and all those who belong to the Lord. That's what we inherit. That's an amazing thing. That is ours. And it says, the Holy Spirit guarantees this, that he will get us there. When you understand that, you understand redemption. You understand. And he says this, he is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, until all those come in who are God's, to the praise of his glory. It's the glory of God. It's like you go, God, that is awesome. That's what the glory is. And God loves us so much, he will not break the command to love us. So that means he will always forgive us. There is no better Valentine, as we're heading into that, because we all bring stuff to Valentine's Day. So as children of God and imitators of our Heavenly Father, we need to offer that same thing to ourselves and others, that same type of love. And John, the next verse in 1 John 4 tells us this, dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is brought to full expression in us. Nobody comes along and says, listen, I want you to meet Jesus. He's with me right now. They don't see him, but they do see him in you. How do they see him? By the way you treat other people. There is no worse testimony than having the bitter, resentful Christian talking about the Lord. It's like, well, you don't even resemble him. So, and God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. That is the proof. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes. John is talking about his own personal testimony of seeing Jesus. And now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. So he says this at the conclusion of that, we now know how much God loves us. This is how much God loves you. And we have put our trust in his love. What does that mean? When I understand that, I trust God's love for me. When I'm high and doing great, and when I'm in the gutter and doing horrible. When I'm feeling great, when I'm acting right, when I'm acting like a fool, God's love for me still is steady. I can trust that the God who sent Jesus, who took care of my eternal life, who the Holy Spirit has been given to me and is going to get me home, is going to happen. He is going to love me. That goes against what we have been taught in this world, which again is performance for acceptance. If I do things well, then things are going to be okay. If I do things not well, then I'm out. I'm in, I'm out, I'm in, I'm out. So, we are compelled to love others because the Holy Spirit's in us. So if we're compelled to love others, that means I will have to be compelled to forgive. And that sucks. Because we don't think it's that beneficial. Because we have reasons for not forgiving. I'm going to really jump into this next week, is how to forgive. But one of the reasons we don't want to forgive is we think that makes us weak. If I forgive, then they get a roll over me and I got to take that. That ain't going to happen. And if I forgive, another one is, what about justice? Oh, they get to do that and nothing's going to happen? Where's the justice in all that? Well, it's the cross that makes it just. What did you do for Jesus? For him to forgive you. What things did you do so it made it right? It wasn't just for him to go. So we'll look at some of that other stuff. But this is so important. Jesus shared this when he taught his disciples to pray. They asked him, Jesus, teach us how to pray. We've been watching you pray, and we don't pray like that. Teach us to pray. So he said this in Matthew 6:12, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. In other words, forgive us in the same way we forgive others. So, if I forgive somebody, but I bring it up every time they hurt me again. God, I want you to do that to me. I want you to keep a long list on me. And I want you to say, God, you forgive me. But if I ever mess up, be sure and bring it up again, would you? That's what that's saying. God, when I get hurt and somebody asks for forgiveness, I want to beat them up about it. I want to give it to them. I want to let them know. Hey, Lord, please do that to me. When I mess up, lay it on me. Or, I'll forgive you, but you got to pay me back. When you pay me back good enough, then I'll forgive you. God, do the same thing to me. When I come to you with my sin, then make me pay you back. Make me earn it so I can be okay, because that's what I want to do. You guys following me on that? That's what he's saying. As I forgive them, forgive me. Same way. Then he goes on to say this in verse 13. And don't let us yield to temptation. What temptation? Temptation to do what I just said. The context of that is don't let me forgive in wrong ways. Let me forgive and drop the case and trust you to do something. Now, I'm not talking about reconciliation. There are some things that I am mandated, you are mandated by God to forgive. But reconciliation takes two people making changes so this thing works. If that can't happen, I am still mandated to forgive, but we might not be able to be reconciled. But my heart has to be, leave them up to God. Or if there is legal issues involved, abuse or something like that, there are remedies in our country that we have been given by God, laws and rules that we can get some kind of recourse. That's okay with God. If you steal a car, you can go to that person and tell them you're sorry, but you still might need to do some time. Reconciliation and forgiveness are two different issues, and we'll talk about that more next week too. Never feel like you got to go back to an abusive situation because you forgave them and they said they're sorry. Love is an action word. Love is demonstrated by action. When you tell me you love me with your words and you do it differently in action, believe the action. When somebody shows you who they are, believe it. Because what do? We like to make excuses for how people are. And we do it for ourselves. Oh, I really love you. No, you don't, because you wouldn't do this if you did. That's not love. Love does no harm to the beloved. So he says, don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one, who would get that all messed up. In verse 14, he says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your heavenly Father or your Father will not forgive your sins. God does not forgive us for not forgiving. He says, no, you need to go deal with that. Oh, Lord, please forgive me for not forgiving them. No, you need to forgive them. But you don't know, Lord. Oh, I know exactly. But see, this is the deal. Unforgiveness creates damage in us. Forgiveness is about you. It isn't about the other person. It's about us. That is why forgiveness is so important. Without forgiveness, we will never be able to form deep relationships. Why? For we will always be protecting ourselves. We'll always be protecting ourselves from truly loving again. Ever notice that? When you've been damaged in relationships, the next fool in your life is going to pay for that. I'm not going to trust. What did Johnny say? He didn't trust authority figures. So anybody that's an authority figure, even though they've done them no wrong, is already under judgment. A lot of ministry that we do here is reparenting people. And so people that have been harmed in their most close relationships will come in and they'll look at me skewed. Why? They don't trust me. Why? Because I trust people and I got hurt. So what did I learn from that? Don't trust. Don't give them your whole heart. See, we come into the world like this. And as we're wounded, we start closing up. And then at some point we're like, but we want a relationship, but I'm not going to give you my heart. I'm not even really going to give you a piece of my heart, because what if you hurt me? Just like that guy, that girl, this thing, that happened. And so we become protected. Forgiveness opens the door so those wounds can start to be healed. And when I'm healed, I'm not bleeding all over you. But when I'm not healed, see, if we were to actually look at our soul condition, which is the emotional part of our lives, we're walking wounded. We're all scarred up. We will be all scarred up. If God were to show us what it looks like inside, we're scarred. And some of those are healed. They're scars. And the cool thing about a scar is it doesn't hurt anymore. It's just an indicator of a wound. But when it's still bleeding, I always protect it. And unforgiveness is a bleeding wound. And so God wants us to get healed. So what does he have to do? He has to say, show me the wounds. And generally speaking, he'll have us show us somebody else the wound, and then we have to deal with that healing. Just see, when God designed us, the emotional, spiritual, emotional, physical, all work together. They're not three distinct things that have nothing in common with each other. So when I am spiritually wounded, that affects my emotions, and that affects my body. It affects the way I deal with myself. When I am physically wounded, if I broke my leg, that will affect pain in me, which will have an emotional response. How many know that we're not super patient when we have physical pain? We're not. Why? It's affecting our emotion, which will affect our spirit. We won't pray as much. We're consumed. When we have emotional pain and relational pain, it affects everything too. So God wants to come in and start to heal us. He's healed us for eternity, but now the rest of our life in this human body, in this human flawed world, is all, we're always in need of receiving forgiveness. We're always in need to give forgiveness, and we need to deal with our wounds. That's how we get healthy. See, a physically healthy person doesn't go to a hospital to find a boyfriend or girlfriend. It's the same thing emotionally. Emotionally healthy people don't look for crippled emotionally people to have a relationship with. I hated it when my mom said, birds of a feather flock together. I especially hate it when my dad said, show me your friends and I'll tell you what you're about. I would say no, and the reality is yes. Show me who you hang out with, and I'll tell you what's going on in your life. If everybody around you is jacked up, guess what you are? If people around you function well, guess what's probably going on in your life? You're functioning well. Okay. That was fun. But there's a price to pay to forgive. Be willing to pay it, because that's where health comes. There's a price to pay if I break my arm. That might be 4 months in a cast and then rehab. But what's the end result? I get to use my arm again. It's the same thing in our emotional world. Somehow we tend to think that, say, oh, I just stuff it down here. What happened didn't bother me. Oh, yeah? How come you keep vomiting it out all the time? It's greatly affecting you. So forgiveness always starts where we live, our innermost circle. It's not what it's limited to, but that's where it starts. And it is the hardest part. You ever notice the hardest place to walk out love is in intimate relationships? Why? Where our deepest wounding occurs and where we wound deepest. I remember telling Therese numerous times in our relationship, especially when the kids were little, I looked at her and go, what do I get out of this? Anybody else ever have that feeling? What do I get out of this marriage? I work all day. I do this. I do that. And I do that. And all this thing. What do I get? All this. And Therese goes, oh my gosh, you articulated that perfectly. That's how I feel. So we had to work on that. What do we get? Why? It's hard. And so we had to walk through our stuff. And this is why intimate relationships are so hard to walk in love, because you have to always walk in forgiveness. It's because the more you know someone, the greater their faults stand out. And their strengths diminish. Have you ever noticed in dating, everybody puts their best foot forward? They're putting their strengths out there? Unless you're with a psycho. And then they throw it all right out there on, you know, right at the beginning, and now you're in a problem. But this is the thing. It takes 2 feet to walk. So no matter how much they put their best foot forward, that other foot's coming out somewhere. That's going to come out. And you're going to have to deal with that. And if you're willing to deal with it, you can both grow and get better and forgiveness takes place. But if not, you can rest assured it's just a matter of time till death takes place. The less you know someone, the greater their strengths stand out. You ever notice that? I just met Mr. Wright. He's perfect. She is phenomenal. I go, well, what do you don't? I'm sitting in the office. Well, what don't you like about her? Nothing. Oh, you don't know her at all, do you? How long have you guys been going out? This is our third date. Brings coffee to me every day at work. Go, you might want to try to keep that up about a year from now. Let me check in with you. Listen, the greatest place of rejection comes from those closest to us, when it ought to be the greatest place of encouragement. Why does that happen? Well, from the time we're little. Johnny shared about not knowing his dad. Others of us in here went through parental favoritism, where certain strengths in one of the kids was lifted high, while the other children with their strengths didn't quite fit what dad or mom wanted, and so their strengths were minimized. And so they felt less than. That starts early in life. How many of us had our parents, saw parents that actually said sorry when they did something wrong, when they mistreated us, and owned their stuff? See, that all that is we look at a picture, okay, you don't own your stuff, we don't own stuff around here. If I make a mistake, it's because you did it. You made me. No, you chose to. So if we don't learn those skills, we interpret things in our family. And these are traumatic events that have happened. Divorce and trauma and stuff like that. Those all cause us to look at life as victims and we get wounded. How many of us dealt with parental comparisons? One kid was the star. Parental neglect, where we fended for ourselves. And we may not, we will say, well, that's not that big a deal. Well, then how come it's affecting your life right now? Sibling rivalry. Parents didn't step in and stop the bully. Pecking order. In my life, I was the oldest kid, and I had resentments about that because I had to babysit at an early age with the 8 kids. And I had all kinds of responsibility that I wasn't capable of handling. And then the younger ones, I got kicked out of the house at 21 for growing for pot. My mom went in my drawer and threw my pot away and kicked me out of the house. My youngest brothers, the last guy, she was watering their pot plants. What the? That didn't cause any bitterness, thankfully. Yeah. My dad died when I was 16. Actually, just turned 17. And, you know, we went on one vacation my whole life. I didn't even know what a vacation was. I didn't even know they were important. I didn't even know they were fun. You know, when you don't have something, you don't know what you miss. Teresa's dad thankfully paid for our first vacation when I was married, and it opened my eyes to a world I'd never experienced. So this is what it's like to go somewhere, to stay on a lake and to ride sea-doos. Blew my mind that there was another world out there. Now, some of you guys, you know, that's not an issue to you, but that caused resentment and unforgiveness in me. I felt ripped off. You know, my mom would say numerous times, You know, I'd watch my brothers and sisters, the younger ones, get away with all kinds of stuff. And she said, well, Joe, you had your dad. You had your dad till you were 17. I go, he's a rageaholic. I'm not the winner here. They had mini bikes, went on vacation twice a year. After my dad died, my mom, you know, got some money and she was taking them every which way. And it's like, how does, I was a victim. I was mad. And so, you know, there was stuff, I justified all my behavior. And I justified hurting people. Hurt people hurt people. Healthy people don't hurt people on purpose. They'll do it. You know, in my family, you showed a weakness, that was ammunition. Now I know where to get you. Oh, you cried about that. I'll write that down. I'll bring that up because that wounds you. That's the other thing about being close to people. You know their buttons. You know what hurts them. You know where they're vulnerable. If I pronounce that right. So we have these issues and we all grow up with them somehow, some way. Then we get in relationships and we deal with them. My family, anger was an acceptable way to deal with emotions. Vulnerability, not acceptable. So what did I learn? Not to be vulnerable. I learned that and yet I held it against people. So listen. We forgive because it heals us. It's really nothing about the other person. It can be, but that's not the goal. The goal is to free me up space so that I can now get healed in that arena. And so my relationships also tend to get healed. I now begin to have compassion for people. When I'm drowning, emotionally speaking, I'm in no position to save you. But when I'm swimming okay and I see that you're drowning, hey, now I can help you in whatever form that takes. I remember this week I was writing down forgiving my son-in-law. Even saying that is weird to me. And I could only like write a couple of things because true forgiveness is always about acknowledging the hurt and the wound and then what it did to us, what it caused in our life. Blanket forgiveness never accomplishes nothing. My dad wasn't very good. I forgive you. No, I forgive my dad for this and that because those memories stand out in our head. When you're wounded, everybody in here has the memories of their woundedness. The time this happened. And it's not only the event, it's what the event did to us. What it caused inside. Shame. Caused hate. Caused bitterness. It caused me to harden so I don't feel. Learn not to feel. So if you come here and tell me your feelings, what do I feel about that? People ask you, you know, what do you feel? I don't know what I feel. I can tell you what I think. I think you're an idiot. Think you're weak. But when I begin to get healed, I begin to have compassion for, oh yeah, that wound, that really affected me. That really affects you. Oh yeah. And then you have something to give. So it's a blessing to us, and it becomes a blessing to others. And this is the thing that I want you guys to take today is, first of all, before we start talking about forgiving others, which we'll do next week, you need to understand you have a continual need to be forgiven. One of the reasons it's hard for us to forgive is because we don't think we've done that bad. My things aren't that bad, but your thing, what you did. This is what I found out in life, and this is what I found out when I was writing about my brother-in-law and forgiving him, is that I didn't do what he did, but in my head I have, and in my heart I've done it. And anything that someone else can do, I could do it too. if I had the same situation going on. I am not that holy and that distance from humanity, because I'm a human being too, that if I didn't have his background, his growing up, his stuff, his brokenness, his wounding, who's to say what I would do? So when I recognize I'm a human being like everyone else, and I am not that lofty that if I was presented with the same things, I wouldn't respond the same way, that puts me in a place of being equal. And that enables me to forgive the unforgivable in others and to forgive the unforgivable in me. I tell you, I've counseled many people, and one of the things that I can never, they'll say, I can never forgive myself for what I did, what happened there. Or I can never forgive them for what happened to me. And I say, either way, it's hindering your life. It's hindering your life. And this is the thing, you can't fix the past. You can't go back there and make it all better. All you can do is stop from being controlled by that past. So now, how do I navigate in a healthy way this traumatic thing so I don't continue to bleed on everyone? And if I got kids, bleed on them. How do I do that? And that's what we'll look at. But the first thing you need to know this, your capacity to love, and we all want love, is in direct correlation to the capacity you have to forgive. You cannot love more than you can forgive. They have to be on the same line, because love always requires forgiveness. So if I want to have healthy love relationships, I need to understand that I have to have a healthy capacity to forgive others and forgive myself. I have to have that, or I cannot love. It will hinder me. So that means I got to do the hard work of dealing with my own stuff so that I can be a blessing to others. In fact, Jesus said this in Luke 7:47 to the woman that came and started washing his feet in her oil, her very expensive perfume. And the guys came up to Jesus and said, why is she wasting that perfume on your feet? We could take that and give a bunch of money to the poor. And Jesus said this to him. He says, I tell you this in Luke 7:47. Her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven, so she has shown me much love. She understood that as when she truly experienced her acceptance, and she had many sins. When she experienced her acceptance that she was okay, even though this happened, because some of us sitting in here today, we're still not okay in our own skin because of the shame we carried. Jesus lifted it off her, and he said, because she has been forgiven, she now can show much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. So that's a spiritual principle you can leave with today. Little forgiveness, little love. You find yourself bitter. You find yourself always judging people. You find yourself looking at people like that. You're going to have little love, which also indicates there's a little forgiveness going on in you. But what's the opposite of that? Great forgiveness is great love. I want to love. I want to be a guy that helps people know the Lord. And therefore, you have to love them. And part of that is accepting them where they're at. But listen, I got to be at a place of health. That's the difference I tell people all the time. In ministry, you're dealing with people that need help. But you got to come from it from a place of health. In your personal relationships, look for someone healthy. Because if you're having massive problems with them, you need to take that and turn that glass and look at it as a mirror. It says a lot about you. Says a lot about you. Okay, that was happy. So here's the thing, you guys. Let's stand up. And let's understand this. Your sin has great gravity. So in order for me to get healthy and be able to forgive others, I have to understand that I am in great need of forgiveness. Everybody got that? Who's in great need of forgiveness? All of us. How often are we going to be in need of forgiveness? As long as we have this body, right? Someday when we get the new body, we won't. We won't be hurting ourselves or anyone else, and we'll be right with God. That's the beauty of the new heaven and the new earth. Until that time, we're all bumbling, stumbling, and fumbling along as the Holy Spirit's taking us to heaven. So this is the thing. Trust God to deal with their offenses. And I'm not talking about abuse here. Let me make that clear. If there are things that are not right and people are getting hurt, you need to exit that. And there are legal recourses you might want to take. But I'm talking about relationally. If we want to have healthy relationships, be sure we are on the forgiving end of things also. Amen? All right, so I'll pray with you, and if you want, pray with me. Lord Jesus, I confess I am in great need of forgiveness on a regular basis. Help me to be able to admit my wrongs, be willing to make them right, and be willing to grow. Help me, God, to be forgiving of others. And I thank you for that. For that heals me and heals others and keeps me right with you. So help me, God. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day.